We're going to look at a long portion of text today in the book of Romans. As you've heard in the children message, we're going to talk about Israel and God's plan with Israel. This is quite a long portion in the book of Romans. We're going to take about a third or half of that today, which is Romans chapter 10, 18. We'll read to chapter 11, verse 16. So Romans chapter 10 from verse 18 to 11, 16. Let's begin in Romans 10, verse 18. Paul again starts with a question, and he's referring to Israel here. But I ask, have they, that's Israel, not heard the gospel? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is bold to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Chapter 11, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. If it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their transgression, a trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, and as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray for a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, you have laid before us part of your eternal plan in which we can see your wisdom, your power, and your glory revealed. Father, we are often slow of hearing and understanding your word, and so Father, we pray that you would reveal to us the truth. Lord, that you would help us understand your wisdom, that we would glorify and in the salvation of Israel see our purpose in this life and in this world. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, in the book of Romans, Paul explains God's good news to Israel and the rest of the world, or what we would call the gospel, the good news of salvation. It is the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. They will be saved. For all who call upon him will be saved. But do you remember to whom the good news was preached first? If you go back to Romans chapter 1:16, you might remember this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God of salvation to everyone who believes. What does it say then? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or to Israel first and then to all the other nations. The promises are to Israel first, but also to the rest of the world. So, what about Israel? What about their salvation? What happened? Why is the primary receivers of the gospel so often rejecting their own Messiah, their own Savior? What about the promises God made to Israel, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the 12, to David? How is it that so many Jews in Paul's time and even today reject the gospel? Has God rejected Israel? Or have they not heard the gospel? Has God given up on Israel? Will he not keep his promises to Israel? Well, brothers and sisters, this is the question this morning. This is the question of our text. How about Israel? Today we're going to see that the plan of God is still ongoing with Israel. We're going to start with Israel's rejection of the gospel. How did that happen? And then we're going to see God's plan. We'll start here today, and then next week and following week we will continue this. So let's begin with Israel's rejection of the gospel. And the question is this: why is Israel rejecting the gospel? Not is it, it's clear, right? Many Jews today, not all, we're going to see why that is, but many of them are not accepting their own Savior, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, Paul says in Romans 10, 18 to 21, and have your Bibles with you, keep it open on your lap and you can read right along, because I want you to see this in your own Bibles. Romans 10, 18. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. So in other words, it's not because Israel hasn't heard the gospel. They have heard the gospel. 19. But I ask, did Israel not understand? They heard the gospel, but have they not understood the gospel? That's a different thing, isn't it? You can sit in a very complicated mathematics lecture and you can say, I've heard the lecture, but it doesn't mean you understand the concept. So the second question is, have they understand the gospel? After all, how is it possible for Israel to hear the gospel and not understand it? I mean, it's all over the Old Testament. It's promised. The Messiah is going to be the king. He's going to save you from your sins. Isaiah 53, right? It's all there. So how have they not understood it? Well, Paul gives an answer from the Old Testament. He's going to use Moses first and then Isaiah. This is what he says. We continue in verse 19. First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. In other words, God will make Israel jealous with a foolish nation. You want to take a guess who the foolish nation is? That's us. Right? That's the rest of the world. Those who are accepting the gospel, God will use to make them jealous. We're going to get back to that jealousy later on. Then Isaiah, so you have Moses and Isaiah, some of the primary law giver to whom God gives the law, Moses, and then Isaiah, the greatest prophet of Israel, adds to that in verse 20, then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I mean, Israel's been seeking, but a Gentile nation, we who weren't seeking him, it's been brought to us. We have found him. He goes on, I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What Paul is saying is this: Israel's rejection of the gospel has been foretold in the Old Testament. It was a judgment from God for Israel because they were disobedient to him. They had heard God's word, but they rejected it again and again. Now, we've been going through the Old Testament in the evening services, and if you've been there, you know exactly what we're speaking about. If you go through the historic books of the Old Testament or the prophetic books, it's the same theme over and over. I've given you a good law. I've given you salvation. I brought you out of Egypt into the promised land. Why will you not listen? Why do you keep on being disobedient? And so God says, I will save other nations first so that you will become jealous. Paul continues in Romans 11, 7 to 10. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. Even today, there are many religious Jews that are waiting for the Messiah, but they cannot find him. If you talk about the Messiah, are you looking forward to the Messiah? The serious religious Jews, they say, absolutely, we're looking forward, we're anticipating, he could come any moment. He came 2,000 years ago. That's the Jewish Messiah. He came 2,000 years ago and they're seeking today. They cannot find him. But the elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, here's the judgment. I want you to see this. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. This is not a Gentile writing towards Israel. This is Israelites writing about their own offspring. This is David speaking of the people that would come after him. This is, he is speaking towards future Israel, Israel of Paul's day, and I dare say even today. The reason why Israel is rejecting the gospel, by and large, it's not because the gospel doesn't make sense. It's not because it's not grounded in the Old Testament. It fully is grounded in the Old Testament. But the reason why they reject it is because God has closed their eyes to see it as judgment. God has closed their... You see, it's right here, right in verse 8. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. God has closed their eyes as a judgment. We read every Sunday morning the law of God. Do you know that this is written in the law of God? In the Ten Commandments? Right? He will. You should not bow to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. In other words, God will judge his people and their offspring if they reject his word, if they're disobedient to him. And that's exactly what has happened. And David writes it here and says, God will give them. And then he goes on and David says here, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, a retribution for them. Their own religious zeal is becoming their own stumbling block. And so God judges Israel and makes them blinded for the gospel. That is why so many Jews have rejected the gospel through the years. That's what Paul says. Now we can take two things about this. We'll say, well, I don't like that. I don't like that God does that. Then you're judging God. And there's the other one. It should make us tremble. And realize that God is a judge God, a just God, and he can do the same to us. As a matter of fact, in a few weeks we will see that. God can do the same to us. If we're rejecting him, our offspring can be blinded and darkened for the gospel. After all, if the original branches could be pulled out, can those who have been placed in not be pulled out? Can our lineage not be pulled out? And isn't that what we see in many families? Where one generation begins to reject the gospel and there's a whole train of rejection following? So why is Israel rejecting the gospel? Because they are under God's judgment. We go to the second point. And by the way, before we go to the second point, I'm afraid that many Christians, especially among our circle, stop here with the plan of Israel. God has rejected Israel, and now he keeps going with the church. Israel's past, church is present and future. But as you will see, there's three more points coming. This is not the whole message. This is part, and the first part of the message of God's plan with Israel. Second plan, a second part. And this is another question. Has God rejected the Jews? And so is it hopeless to share the gospel with Jews as the German reformer Martin Luther claimed? Martin Luther said God has given up on the Israelites. In Luther's mind, the Jewish promise was given to the new Israel, the church, and not to the old Israel. Well, Luther was wrong. God has not rejected Israel, and here is the first reason. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. And so was Peter, James, John. Most of the New Testament authors had Jewish fathers and mothers. Most of the early church were Jews. And so has God rejected Israel? No. After all, there's some Jews that are saved. That's the first reason. Here's the text in Romans 11, 1-6. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. That is as strong as you can say it. Absolutely, totally, no. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. You remember the golden chain of salvation, of redemption? Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. And so Paul says, God has not rejected Israel, the ones whom he foreknew. Paul foreknew that he would be saved, or God foreknew that Paul would be saved. God has not rejected, verse 2, his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah how he appeals to God against Israel? Verse 3, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace would no longer be grace. Paul is saying this. You remember Elijah? In Elijah's time, Elijah says, there is no one that follows you. I alone am left. And God says, not so quick, Elijah. There are 7,000 that follow me faithfully, that have not rejected me. For I have kept 7,000 for myself. I have guarded their hearts. I have given them faith so that they follow me, and they are not rejecting me. And Paul says, even in his time, there was a remnant that God is protecting of his people Israel, do you see? He's still talking about Israel. And so there's a special place for Israel even there, do you see? God, Paul says boldly, God has of the Israelites a remnant. And I think I could fast forward it to today. There is a remnant of Israelites because they are Israelites by God's grace. Throughout every generation, God has had Jewish believers based upon the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David that there would always be a remnant of faithful Israelites. And so there are always Israelites accepting the gospel. For God foreknows that it's the predestined, sovereign will of God that there are Jews that are saved in every generation because they are Jews. You see that? Now we have, as we have seen already, if we are saved, we have been foreknown, chosen, and predestined. But it never says because I'm of Dutch descent, or because I'm of Korean descent, or Chinese, or African, or whatever descent you might be of. No. There's only one descent that there is a remnant of, because it's promised in the Old Testament that he will save a remnant of Israelites. And so we have to think about this. God has still a specific promise towards Israel as a nation. That among Israel in every generation there is a remnant of Jewish believers chosen by God based upon the promises made to their ancestors in DNA, in blood. And this is going to be, the reason why I'm stressing this is going to be important for the next point as well. And so Paul explains that just as in the time of Elijah, God has a remnant of Jews in every generation. So let's recap. Israel has a special status before God because he keeps a remnant from that people. This has two consequences. First, because of this special place, most of them are judged for the sins of the past. Many of them are hardened. Many of them are blinded. So before you say, I wish I was, no, you're not. You shouldn't. Because at this point still, they're under judgment. And I'm going to explain to you why I would still say that. But they clearly have a special place before God. That's why he judges them so severely. That so many have rejected the gospel throughout the world, even to the point that the reformer Martin Luther said, God has given up on them altogether. He was wrong, as we will see. Secondly, because of this special place, some of them are elected by God's grace, and it cannot be undone. There will always be Jews until the end of this world, and there will always be a remnant of Israelites saved. Hitler tried to kill all of them. It's impossible. For there must be a remnant saved by grace. Many people have tried to kill Israel, and it will never work. Because God watches over Israel on the one hand for judgment, on the other hand, to save a remnant in every generation. Which brings us to our third point. What is the relationship between Israel and the church? Is there a special relationship between Israel and the church? And if so, how? What is that relationship? What is the biblical relationship between Israel and the church? There's many suggestions today. Some go as far as to say, well, we're all the same. We just have a different religion, but God will save all of us. Absolutely not. Scripture says there's only one way of salvation. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, no matter how religious you are. And yet, there is a relationship. And Paul quotes that and finds that relationship through the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 32:12. And he quotes it in Romans 10:19. Look in your Bibles, in Romans 10:19. I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, with a foolish nation I will make you angry. Now the question we should be asking is this: why does God want to make the Jews jealous by our salvation? What's the point? What will this jealousy accomplish? Well, he answers that in Romans 11:11-12. Look down to Romans 11:11-12. So I ask that they stumble in order that they might fall. By no means, rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. You see, he's going back to the theme of jealousy. God has saved the Gentiles, and the purpose of their salvation is to make the Jews jealous. I don't think you woke up this morning and say, I'm a Christian to make the Jews jealous. And that's a problem, because it should be part of our understanding. Because it's an understanding of love towards Israel. Verse 12. Now if their trespass means riches for the world. What he means by this is this. If Israel rejecting the gospel has brought the gospel to us and has given us salvation, riches to the world. If their rejection of the gospel has given us salvation, then he continues after the comma, how much more will their full inclusion mean? What does that mean? It's future tense. You see that? How much more will their full inclusion mean? One is in the past, the other one is in the future. If their past failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? What is he saying? The salvation of the Gentiles is to make Israel jealous so that Israel would return to God. But as Paul states, this stage is temporary, for in the future there will be a full inclusion. There's a reason for this. There's a reason that the church, by its love for God and being blessed and how God watches over us and cleanses us and fills us with the Spirit and works mightily in us, there's a reason, because Israel is looking at a distance and it sees the light of God through the church. And as it sees that light, it says, I want that. Why am I not having that? So that there will be a point where they will come and return and fully be included. You see that? There's a practical means here. In other words, we as outsiders are saved so that Israel would become jealous and turn back to God. There's one of the purposes of your life. That through your salvation, there would be Israelites around you becoming jealous of the relationship you have with God. And through that jealousy, they will begin to have a yearning to live like David as we live like David. To live like Moses as we live like Moses. In the joy of the Lord. To long after God. Listen to verse 25. This is beyond our text, but it's okay. Verse 25 of chapter 11. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I don't want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Think about that. Like if you look in your Bibles, in verse 25, a partial hardening has come upon Israel. Is that permanent until the end of time? No. For it says, until. You see that? Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, the Jews are hardened. We've already seen it in chapter 10. They're blinded by God. That's why many of them reject the gospel. But that blindness is going to be unfilled when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You see that? There's an end to that hardness, to that blindness. And when the blindness is lifted, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then the until stops. And there is a from now on. The Jews will see their Savior. And they are brought in to Christ. Now, when is this point of repentance? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. When all the non-elect Jews are brought in, God will save Israel. It's right there, isn't it? It's in your text. God has not rejected Israel forever. There is a reason why through the years, every generation of Christians has tried to show the Jews Christ as the Savior, because we love them, because we want them to see their Savior. We want them to know that Christ died for them. But every time we hit a wall, we hit a wall. They don't see it. Whether we preach it in Hebrew or in English or in Dutch or any other language, they doesn't seem to be able to see it. But God says that's not forever. Because there's going to be a time when all the Gentiles have come in, and then they will be saved and they'll be fully included. So God has not given up on Israel. But they are hardened today. They're blinded today. For the sins of the past, until that no longer, they will no longer be blinded. And then they will come. Then they will come. Not one, not 7,000, but all will come and call upon their Savior. Brings us to the last point of today. What will it be like when Israel comes to their Savior? I think what Paul is doing here is what we're going to see the next passages. He is stirring up the desire for us to see Israel saved. What is it going to be like when Israel fully comes to accept Jesus as their Savior and follows the Messiah, their King, the Son of David? Well, Paul explains in our text that the salvation of the Jews will be a wonderful day for all the church, Jews and Gentiles together, one church. He uses two words to explain this joyful occasion. He uses the word riches and resurrection. It will be a day of riches and a day of resurrection. Look in Romans 11, verse 12. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion be? Or mean? You see the comparison? If the first shipment was wonderful, but that was only the introduction, if the first container that you opened on the ship was full of gold, how will the entire container ship, containers with gold, be like? That's the idea. If the first step was riches, how much more will their full inclusion mean? We have great riches in Christ. We experience them by faith. But Paul says, how much more will it be when they are fully included? There's an anticipation of Paul here. It's saying, we love the blessings of the gospel. Read Ephesians, you'll see the blessings of the gospel. But in a way, we are only tasting the first bits, the starter. We're just nibbling off the beginning of the course. We haven't come to the fullness. If this is riches, how much more will their full inclusion mean? This is a lesser to greater comparison. We're rich in Christ now because Israel rejected the gospel and the gospel came to us. How much more when they will accept the gospel as well, and we will be united with them forever as one people. It will be glorious. It will be wonderful. And this is why I am all for loving Israel, praying for Israel, but praying for their salvation. Because who knows, maybe this generation of Israelites will be as a nation, our brothers and sisters. Massive new birth from Jerusalem to every town and city in Israel, to every Jew all across the world. Be brought in. Jews and Gentiles worshiping God forever and ever in the incalculable riches of Christ. Fully experienced, not as a shadow, but in its full revelation. That's glorious. Second passage. If you think this was great, wait till this one. Verse 15. I want you to see this in your Bibles, because I think this is a topic we rarely touch on. Romans 11, 15. For if their rejection means reconciliation of the world, we understand that, right? The rejection of the gospel by Israel, we are being reconciled to God. We are here gathered. We are people from all over the world. If we would trace our ancestry, we would spread the globe. We've been reconciled to God through their rejection. The gospel went forth all across the world. We're reconciled to God. Praise the Lord. That was because of their rejection. That's the lesser blessing. And it's marvelous. Now comes the greater. What will their acceptance mean, but life from the dead? Whose acceptance? Israel's acceptance. When? What will? Future tense from Paul's time. What will their acceptance mean, acceptance of the gospel? What will the acceptance of Israel towards the gospel mean but life from the dead? This is referring not just to Israel life from the dead, but to the church life from the dead. You see that? Their rejection brought us reconciliation. Their acceptance of the gospel will bring life from the dead. The fullness of salvation will come when they are included. That's the meaning. Life from the dead, the life that we're longing for, that new life will come when they come to Christ and be saved. We will be resurrected when they're brought in. You see that? We will be resurrected in our new bodies and live in all the promises made in the book of Revelation. All of it will come to pass when God's calendar is complete for this world and they're fully included. So what should your desire be, brothers and sisters? I think that Paul is calling us to think of the end of the world as we know it, and the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. And to understand that, he wants us, in a sense, to go into heaven, to go to the highest place of heaven and ponder the mind of God and God's eternal counsels and God's timeline for the world. And Paul is pinpointing and he says, look, we have a lot in the past. And right now we're living at a time where God is bringing the gospel to the world. And that's the last step before the final step. And in this last step, the purpose of this last step is that the church would move the Jews to jealousy so that they will return. And then you have Gentiles and Jews together following the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything becomes full circle. Where God's people in the Old Testament and the nations are united, where you come back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, one nation under God worshiping. In the Old Testament, that's split up into Israel and the rest of the world. In the New Testament, you see the world following Christ, Israel rejecting. All of that comes together in that last point where Gentiles are worshiping God and Israel is worshiping God, and you come to the final moment of the plan of God. And after that, eternal glory. These are deep things. And Paul says, you must know this. For God has a plan with Israel. And you're part of it. Not as a soldier on the border, but as a child of God shining a light that will move the Jews to jealousy so they would come and be saved. And so Martin Luther was wrong. God has not given up on Israel. God has not replaced Israel with the church. In fact, the church is an outgrowth of Israel. And Paul says that we who are in Christ are true Jews. And the Israelites who've rejected the gospel are branches broken off. But they will be grafted in. And so there's no Israel and the church in the plan of salvation. There's different ways. No. There's one way of salvation. We just have been grafted into Israel. And Israel itself, physical Israel, has been broken off. But on the final time, in the final 5 minutes of the clock of God's eternal plan, they will be grafted in. And then the tree will be complete and blossom and grow forever and ever. And so, beloved, we must pray for Israel. Not just for their physical safety, but for their salvation. They're still blinded. There is a remnant of brothers and sisters that we are united with by faith. So how do we move the Jews to jealousy? It's not by our riches. It's not by our good health and power. But let me give you three ways in which I think the Jews will be moved to jealousy and return to their God. First of all, we must move the Jews to jealousy by joy in the Lord. They have the weeping wall in Jerusalem. We have hearts of joy in Christ. We must move them by joy, not laughter and fun, but joy in the Lord, because we walk really with Him. And His Spirit is within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which includes joy. Real joy, not a religious fake fabrication, but joy from the Lord. Secondly, we must move the Jews, Israel, to jealousy by being filled with the Spirit. By being someone, as we will talk about tonight, not walking in the ways of the world, but being in God's Word, being filled with the Spirit, and using the power of the Spirit to bring forth the life of Christ into this world, so that they will see God is working in them over there, why not in us? Moving them to jealousy. And third and lastly, we must move Israel to jealousy by our love for one another. They shall know you by your love. They will see and recognize God is among you by your love that you have for one another. It's not an achievement of going there and doing something. It is simply walking with God in the joy of the Lord, filled with the Spirit, and loving one another through the Holy Spirit that will move them to recognize God is in them, not in us. Go back to the book of Acts. And you will see it. You can see God moving in the church, and the religious Jews of the time, they cannot respond to it. And because they're blinded by the truth, they're rejecting it. They attack it. But I think at the end time, it will be the reverse. It will be a repeat, but it will be a different outcome. But we will walk in the ways of the book of Acts, filled with the Spirit, faithfully following after God, not being distracted by this world, but truly following after Him. And then the blindness will be lifted, and they will be saved. Amen. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we pray for Israel. Lord, we pray that they might be saved. Lord, help us to have hearts like the Apostle Paul, who said that he wished that he could be accursed for the sake of his kinsmen, the Israelites, according to the flesh. Father, we pray that you would help us to live in a life of sovereign joy, filled with the Spirit, of true and lasting love for one another, so that the world may see, and especially your people Israel, we have a great God, so that we move to jealousy and come and call upon your name. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.